The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, and on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt. It's a good day. A lot going on. Good topics. We get a little closer to March Madness. I'll be in San Diego for the shows tomorrow and Thursday and Friday, as we are going to be with the University of Arizona Wildcats. And Jared Cohen will be in Milwaukee with Arizona State on Thursday and Friday. So we've got both of the teams in-state covered around March Madness. But there's much more going on today. I'm going to go a different direction on a couple of segments, some things that have been on my mind. We'll be joined by Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, All Things Fantasy Football with Michael Fabiano. That will be coming up here in about 15 minutes because we've had plenty of questions from people asking about what do you think of this move and that move, and the NFL never stops. We'll do a little free agency football today with Michael, and then Dwayne Woods, the interim executive director at the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, going to join us in about 25 minutes. I think there's some movement over there that is worth exploring on a business side for our state. So we'll talk with Dwayne Woods. That comes up, the interim executive director, Dr. Robert Shelton, leaving in mid-January. And we'll visit with Dwayne on some things going on over there. Got some good topics today. I can't believe the Diamondbacks have put out an 18-inch corn dog stuffed with cheese and bacon in the ballpark.
Amazing.
Isn't that awesome? Jared is in today for Eric. It is, you know, it's one of those things, guys, when you go to the ballpark this year and you're saying to yourself, I want to die today. So what are you going to have in order for it to be your last meal? Well, of course, I'm going to clog everything inside of me by having the 18-inch corn dog stuffed with cheese and bacon.
They're calling it the D-Bat.
$25 for this hot dog.
That's crazy.
$25. Hey, honey, I'm going to go get something at the concession stand. Okay. It's going to cost more than our car insurance for a day or two. Really? Yeah, I'm going to eat it. And then I'm going to die right here in the bleachers. Sure, it makes sense to me. This is true. I want to get into that a little bit further. I have some news for Arizona State basketball fans that didn't want Herb Sendek back. One of the hot names is not going to be coming here. And I think Herb's going to be back anyways, but there's that. Today's like a national holiday because spring football for Arizona State opened. U of A opened spring football a couple of weeks ago, but in U of A world, spring football is just kind of something to do to pass the time until you get to basketball and March Madness, because people don't care about U of A football, really. And if you think I'm joking, give me your Rose Bowl record, and then we'll start the discussion. It's fine.
Wait a second.
It's fine.
Wait a second. You have to have a Rose Bowl to care about football?
Yeah, I mean, you should
aim
to go to...
What kind of a fan base are you then?
You should aim to go to the highest game physically possible.
Well, sure, but
that doesn't
mean you don't care.
Unless you buy a ticket.
That doesn't mean you don't care. They sell out more games than ASU does.
You know that this is the case when your basketball program is a bigger deal than your football program.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
But that's the case a lot of places.
That's all I'm getting at. I only care about here in Arizona. Let's get you caught up. Do you have a Facebook question today?
I do have a Facebook question.
Fire away, Jared. What do you got for a Facebook question?
All right, Facebook question of the day. It is springtime, so ASU opens up spring practice today. And I'm just curious to all the people out there and to you as well, who or what is the biggest storyline during this next few week of practices?
So I heard that you were there yesterday. I was not. That someone actually asked Todd Graham about Taylor Kelly as a Heisman Trophy candidate.
No, he said that himself.
He said it himself.
Yes. I don't know if someone spun it another way, but for me being there, he wasn't asked about being a Heisman Trophy candidate. He said that himself. So,
really?
Yeah, he said,
why
not?
Do we have the sound of this or no?
I'd have to dig for it, but I can get it.
That's fine. That's fine. If you don't have it.
I do have it. I just need to
get it. Yeah. No, it's fine. I heard that yesterday and saw it on Twitter. You know, I can actually see the case that they would make over there sitting in a boardroom about Taylor Kelly as a Heisman Trophy candidate. I'll get into that here in a second. I like that question. As ASU opens up their 2014 spring practice, who or what the biggest storyline surrounding the team over the next few weeks? The easy answer would be, who are you going to have play on defense? Who are you going to have fill in the blanks for Marion Grice or Chris Coyle? That's the easy side. Okay, I get that. Check it out, sports360az.com, and give us your response, your answers. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. You hear the winnings. Doesn't it make you want to get out? Sure it does. Swing on by the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Spend the weekend up there. Get away from it all in the White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, you have their March Madness promotion that's going on right now. March Madness, check it out at the Honda Resort and Casino. Eat some great food. Have some fun. Enjoy yourself at the Honda Resort and Casino. So in the middle of the day today, there's a few things. I'll start with the March Madness end. Arizona State, Texas at Milwaukee on Thursday night. I think this is a favorable matchup. In fact, I have my brackets. Trying to figure out how to scan these in on the website. I tried last night. I'm such a dope. Jared, do you know how to do this?
I can do it with my printer at home.
You do it with your printer at home. I tried it with my scanner at home because I figure everybody wants their brackets. I have Arizona against UCLA in the championship game.
Seriously?
And I have the Bruins winning 79-78.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
You like UCLA that much, huh?
I don't like Florida as much as everybody else likes Florida.
Me neither.
I don't think that Ohio State is getting near the respect because Aaron Kraft and guard play and coaches are that good. I think that Michigan State is going to take care of Virginia. I think Michigan State
Michigan State losing to U of A in the national championship game.
And then, you know, on the other side, I can see the Louisville. I actually have ASU making the Sweet 16 and beating Duke. So that's what it's all about.
Everybody money bracket right there.
Everybody. Hey, the billion-dollar bracket. If you're going to do a billion-dollar bracket, you better take some shots. Because everybody's going to do that Warren Buffett billion-dollar bracket. You're not going to do that?
Is that a billion-dollar bracket?
Absolutely,
right there
it's a billion-dollar bracket.
Of course
bracket.
I'm going to do it. I told my wife to do it just for the sake of it.
I have Creighton beating Oregon and getting to the U of A beating Creighton and all that stuff. I mean, this is what we do this time of year. There's all this research that the next 3 days or 4 days are the least productive work days of the year because people are doing so many brackets and not doing their job. There's many of you that are watching this show right now saying, help me out with a bracket. I'll do some of that. But, you know, if the boss walks in, the boss is not going to be too thrilled if you're doing your brackets. But there's $1 billion at stake. So you can tell the boss to stuff it, right? On the ASU front, so let's start with them and then we'll get over to U of A. So ASU goes to Milwaukee. They meet a Texas team that I think is pretty mediocre at best. I think that Arizona State, because they always start out slow, they get themselves in a hole. Are they able to come back? Here is Jahi Carson on getting off to slow starts and what they're going to do about it.
They've been killing us. You know, teams get out, you know, 9-0, 15-0, you know. We're responding to points, basically. And at this time in March, you know, every possession comes down to about one or two possessions. So if we can eliminate those, I think that we're pretty much in every game and winning every game.
See, and I would agree with him. They have been awful, awful, brutal to start out games. Just horrendous. And that's coaching. That's players. Anybody who's going to try to sugarcoat this and say, you know what, they're getting the most out of this team, they haven't this year. It's a reflection on everybody. If I don't start this show out knowing who's coming on and having some topics and being prepped, that's a reflection on everybody. If you walk into your business and you have no clue what you're doing, it's a reflection on you. ASU has no clue, it seems like, to start out games. They fall into big holes. They're not ready to play mentally, whatever it may be. That's on Herb Sendek, that's on his staff, and that's on the players. And anybody who's going to try to explain that away is just drinking the Kool-Aid way too hard. Here's Herb Sendek on facing Texas.
We've been learning about them as quickly as we can. We know they're an outstanding team, a team that's very well coached. I think they're especially impressive on the defensive end of the floor, where their numbers are among the best in the country. They also rebound the basketball exceptionally well. They have a big, strong front court. They have very quick guards. Obviously, coming out of the Big 12, they've played and defeated outstanding competition throughout the season.
So he's given a lot of cliches there to start with, but I think he's sending messages that they have a good, strong front line. Hey, Jordan, get off your butt and play. They have very good guard play. Hey, Jahi, you better be ready to go. Coaches use the media to motivate players. If you don't believe that, then I think you're smoking something. It's just the way it is. on the U of A front, yeah, they should take care of Weber State. They really should. And then beyond that, there's going to be the fashionable thing we'll say be because Marcus Smart is on a journey of redemption and it's Oklahoma State. And that's why the tournament committee put them out there. No, the tournament committee put them out there because Oklahoma State is in the Midwest and that's a television market and they'll get great ratings in the West, in the Midwest. And that's it. There's nothing else. This has nothing to do with Marcus Smart against Nick Johnson. Nothing at all. I think it's a good matchup for Arizona. I think Arizona, if they do anything less than getting to the Elite Eight, in my mind, it's a disappointing season. Actually a bit of a failure if they don't get to anything but the Elite Eight.
I think if you ask U of A fans, if they don't get to the national championship game, it's a failure.
ASU fans?
U of A fans.
U of A fans.
Yeah, did I say ASU?
Yeah, you said ASU.
Sorry, U of A.
Yeah, you shocked me there for a second.
Them too.
Yeah. Well, they need to be realistic. No, and actually I talked about that yesterday. ASU, if ASU gets through one game and gets to the next round, for what they've done this year, they have enough to get to the Sweet 16. On the Bruce Pearl front, so Bruce Pearl, I talked about this name quite a bit. ESPN analyst Bruce Pearl was a name that ASU basketball fans were talking about if Herb Sendek were to get his ticket punched. I don't think Herb's going to get his ticket punched. I think a personality like Bruce Pearl would definitely be something that ASU could have used if they decided to make that move. Herb's done a good job with this program. Good job. He doesn't have much to work with in the way of resources. You look at just the whole environment of what the U of A has done. They've got it rolling in Tucson. And up here, Herb's doing about as best as he can do. And that's the way it's got to be for right now until the athletic department just changes things the way it's done over there. No other way to put it. The Diamondbacks down in Australia, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But on the other side, we talk fantasy football. We'll get into the Suns last night, too, as the show moves on. NFL Network's Michael Fabiano joins us on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, on, of course, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. Michael Fabiano's next. Sports360AZ.com, Brad Sussmat on White Mountain Radio on AZ Central Sports and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Tomorrow we'll be out in San Diego as well as Thursday and Friday with the University of Arizona Wildcats. Our coverage there brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. When I talk about Santan Ford, I do so with great pride because General Manager Tim Hovick and company are big sports fans across the valley and across the state. When I talk about Santan Ford this last week when we were in Las Vegas at the Arizona State and U of A games at the Pac-12 tournament, there was Tim Hovick. Tim Hovick all excited about the Arizona Cardinals and the draft. Tim Hovick and Santan Ford all around the Arizona Diamondbacks. See his billboards all around the town where he's ripping open his shirt and he's got his Diamondback jersey on. The point of this is, when you're going to go buy a vehicle from somebody, don't you want them as a sports fan to be investing in the sports teams in town? That's what Tim does. Tim's involved with all of these organizations. And if you're going to buy a vehicle, buy it from a place that I can say wholeheartedly, as I drive a 2014 Ford Fusion, they do it right. They take care of you. It's Santan Ford. Wide variety, wide selection of Ford vehicles. Here over spring break, maybe you're now starting to look towards summer. You're thinking about, where am I going to go this summer? What vehicle am I going to drive? They have a huge March Madness promotion going on right now at Santan Ford. March Madness, the madness never stops. At Santan Ford, you can get that vehicle for the summertime. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Michael Fabiano will join us here in a few minutes. Dwayne Woods from the Fiesta Bowl. Some other things on my mind, though, today. So Arizona State this morning started their spring football workouts. U of A started a couple of weeks ago. I'm very much looking forward to both teams. A lot of what we do on Sports 360 is about Arizona State and Arizona and the college football and high school football scene. So at ASU, they talked about Taylor Kelly as a Heisman Trophy candidate, they being Todd Graham. So my thought on this with Taylor Kelly is, you could make the argument that with Arizona State's schedule to start out the season, that ASU is going to be in a spot where they've got some national title type games. Not that they're playing in those, but national interest games, I should say. It's national title. I'm not talking that. National interest games. And when you have those, in particular with the Notre Dame game in November, let's just say, for argument's sake, below the surface, that Taylor Kelly is one of those guys that has a good season. Yeah, you could make that argument. You could have made it last year. I thought Taylor got off to a good start. Jameis Winston's going to be your Heisman Trophy front runner by a long ways. Brett Hundley over at UCLA is going to be a Heisman Trophy guy too. Taylor Kelly's one of 30 guys he could throw out there. There's probably 30 different programs that could say our guy could be a Heisman Trophy candidate. So on one hand, as ludicrous as it seems, on the other hand, you look at it and you say, no, I could actually make that argument for Taylor Kelly. So we'll talk more about Arizona State football. They're on the practice field today here locally as they get started with the 2014 season. Michael Fabiano joins us right now, all things fantasy football, with the NFL Network's own Michael Fabiano. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Doing great. I want to have you on because free agency now, we're through the first wave. Most of the big wave names are off the board. From a fantasy standpoint, who are some players that you think, okay, now let's move these players up, getting ready for the 2014 season, Michael?
Well, Ben Tate's at the top of my list. Going from the shadow of Arian Foster in Houston, now the top running back in Cleveland. He's a young guy. He's got RB2 upside. The one issue with Tate, of course, is durability. He's definitely missed more than a share of time at the NFL level. But if this guy stays healthy, he could be very, very good both on the field and in fantasy. I'm thinking he's probably going to come off the board somewhere in the fifth round, fourth round area, depending on how many teams are in your league. Another player whose value is on the rise, Rashad Jennings. Now, the Giants could draft a running back coming up in May, so that could change Jennings' value, but he's a very young 29 years old for a running back. Last year, he finished in the top 25 in fantasy points at the position. Despite only starting 8 games, he is a very good pass catcher. He's a very good blocker. He is going to be a nice fit for Tom Coughlin, so I think this is a kid to watch out for. RB2 value there as well. Toby Gerhardt. He goes from the shadow of Adrian Peterson to the starter in Jacksonville. They gave him starter's money. He could see 18 to 20 touches a game. Now, Jacksonville's offensive line is questionable, and their quarterback position is a big-time question mark right now, but opportunity is there for Gerhardt. So I don't know if I'm drafting him as a number two, but I'm definitely taking a chance on him as a potential flex starter. You know, Brad, having that running back who is going to see goal line work is very, very important, and he clearly is the top guy right now, not only for early down work, but goal line work as well. A couple of other players whose value is on the rise, Golden Tate in Detroit, goes from a running offense in Seattle to a passing offense with the Lions, and Emmanuel Sanders. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Broncos have a salary cap or not, but they've spent a lot of money in the offseason, and Sanders is going to go in there, replace Eric Decker, maybe not his role specifically in the offense, but he's going to see targets from Peyton Manning in an offense that threw the ball almost 700 times last season.
Michael Fabiano with Brad Sismat. I got to talk about Dexter McCluster at running back because knowing Ken Wisenhunt from out here and having him go over to the Tennessee Titans, do you see Dexter McCluster as a guy that fans should keep an eye on this coming season?
No question. And remember, he's been a wide receiver. In Kansas City, he was a wide receiver. He was listed as a wide receiver in our product. We go by what the team's official depth charts say.
Right.
Well, McCluster's going to move into the running back position this season. We've already seen the Titans' website list him as a running back. So that's going to be big for his fantasy value because he could play that Danny Woodhead type of role that Wisenhunt utilized in San Diego. So you're looking at a kid here who can catch 50 passes out of the backfield. That's going to really accentuate his value, especially in PPR leagues. But that situation is not complete yet because the Titans are trying to trade Chris Johnson. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him because his salary is really high for an older running back. But regardless, released, traded, whatever the case may be, the Titans, they could be looking for another running back in the draft coming up in May. So the situation to watch, McCluster is clearly a guy whose value is rising because not only is he going to change position eligibility, but like you said, Wisenhunt likes to have those running backs who catch the ball in the backfield.
Steve Smith, so I'm intrigued by this move. He's always been at Carolina. He goes up to Baltimore. Where do you see Steve Smith fitting in with the Ravens?
I really see him as sort of a lesser Anquan Boldin. When Boldin was there in Baltimore before he went to San Francisco, he's not going to recapture the form that made him one of the top 10 wide receivers in fantasy football earlier in his career. He's in his mid-30s, and as a wide receiver, that's getting a little long in the tooth. I wouldn't draft him as more than a borderline 3 or 4 in fantasy, and I'm definitely tending to think he's closer to a 4. The Ravens aren't going to throw the ball like the Broncos are. They're not going to throw the ball like the Lions are. They're going to want to establish the run game with Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce, and Smith is the third passing option, at least in my opinion, for Joe Flacco behind Torrey Smith and, of course, Dennis Pitta, who is a nice breakout candidate. So Steve Smith is a three or four, leaning more towards a four in fantasy terms.
Eric Decker in the Jets. Figure that one out for me, please.
That one is not so good for Decker's fantasy value.
Yeah.
It's a great move for the Jets.
Yeah.
They needed a wide receiver maybe worse than any other team in the league. They got a guy who was finishing the top 10 fantasy points in two straight seasons, but he was catching passes from Peyton Manning. 675 pass attempts for the Broncos last year, only 480 from the Jets in 2013. You're going from Peyton Manning to Geno Smith. Nothing against Geno Smith. That's a massive drop-off. And this running-based offense is not going to allow him as many targets as, say, the Broncos did over the last few seasons. So Eric Decker's now going from a number one receiver based on points to a guy I'm not drafting as more than a three, to be quite honest with you. He's going to see all of the top cornerbacks week in and week out. And that includes Darrell Revis twice a year now because he's in New England.
Right.
You're talking about Brent Grimes in Miami, who is one of the better young cornerbacks in the National Football League. Stephon Gilmore in Buffalo. So it's going to be a tough task for Eric Decker. In fact, I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to score more fantasy points than Eric Decker will this season if both guys stay healthy.
That's interesting. On the quarterback front, we still haven't seen the dominoes fall yet. Anything on the quarterback front, though, that you think has changed here in the offseason in terms of fantasy value if you're starting to look at your quarterbacks?
Well, the first guy that comes to mind didn't change teams, but who's Cam Newton going to throw the football to?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a good point.
He lost Smith. He lost Brandon LaFell. Yes, he's got Greg Olsen. But right now, the Carolina Panthers' two starting wide receivers are Tavares King and Marvin McNutt. Okay? I think I know football pretty well. I believe Tavares was drafted by the Broncos last season. I think it was a fifth or sixth round pick. Marvin McNutt is, I believe, an Arkansas kid. But who are these guys? He needs to get some weapons in that pass attack. And right now, you're looking at Santonio Holmes, maybe. You're looking at wide receivers who aren't going to thrill you. Mario Manningham just signed with the New York Giants, and that's not a thrilling move. So Cam Newton's value as a passer is dropping a little bit. In fact, I would now draft Nick Foles and Andrew Luck ahead of Cam Newton, along with, of course, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees. So Cam's value has fallen a little bit. There hadn't been a lot of moves at quarterback. Josh McCown goes from Chicago to Tampa Bay, but he's not really going to be drafted in a lot of leagues. Number one, I think he was a product of the system with Mark Trestman, who is considered the quarterback whisperer. And number two, he's going to Tampa Bay, who they're going to run the ball. He's going to be more of a game manager there than he was in Chicago, where Trestman let him loose. He also doesn't have Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett to throw football to. So McCown is someone who I would keep on the back burner in drafts. There are younger quarterbacks out there with more upside. Heck, I draft Johnny Manziel over McCown, over Eli Manning, over Joe Flacco because I want that upside.
Well, because it's interesting, Michael, that we haven't seen the quarterbacks move, and yet we hear about Matt Schaub and Michael Vick, and where are they going to land? But those guys, to me, are going to be guys that aren't going to be drafted. Even if they, wherever they land, I can't I can't sit here today and say, wow, if Matt Schaub goes to fill in the blank, whether it's the Raiders or wherever, Michael Vick, wherever, I can't see that being a good fit for a fantasy guy this year.
At the most, you're looking at QB2 situations. With Vick, who wants a chance to start, for example, if he signed with the Jets, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but Geno Smith appears to be the guy there.
Yeah.
If either one of these guys goes to Oakland, well, there's a starting opportunity right there because Matt McGloin and Terrell Pryor are the only two players there, unless the Raiders draft a quarterback like a Johnny Manziel, for example, or a Bridgewater. So there's a lot that needs to be connected still, and you're right. There's not a lot of upside with Michael Vick or Matt Schaub. In fact, there isn't any upside at all with either one of those quarterbacks. Maybe Schaub is a late round two, but there's so many good quarterbacks in the league. Brad, you know it, I know it. There's going to be better options out there from a fantasy perspective if you're looking at a 10-team league.
One other question on the quarterbacks, and I'll let you go on this. So
yep.
are you seeing now, when you're sitting there on the NFL Network doing your thing and talking to the guys, and from your analysis, do you see definite game plans being shaped now by organizations at the top of the draft, meaning you can look at the draft and say, this is where Manziel, Bridgewater, and Bortles are likely going to go based on what we're seeing here in free agency?
Well, you definitely know the teams that need a quarterback, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Browns, the Houston Texans. So based on how valuable quarterbacks are in the National Football League, you're going to see teams go after that position. The Vikings a few years ago were so desperate they drafted Christian Ponder way too high. We all know how that turned out. But I think you're looking at Bridgewater, you're looking at Manziel, you're looking at Bortles, you're looking at guys that look like they're going to be top 10 picks, maybe top 15 picks overall, based on the fact that the teams, several of the teams who are in need at that position are at the top of the draft order. So you're going to see some rookies come right out of the gate and start. Yeah. Maybe Bridgewater starts if he's drafted by the Vikings, for example. It could be someone like a Manziel going to Jacksonville or Cleveland and getting a chance to start. So not only from a football perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, there's going to be opportunities there. And again, I said it before, I'll say it again, quarterbacks are valued more than ever before in the National Football League these days. And that's a big reason why you're seeing some of these names mentioned at the top of the first round, because teams are looking for that next great player. They're looking for that next Cam Newton. They're looking for that next Andrew Luck, because it's really hard to find.
Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Thanks. Stay well.
All right, my friend. Take care.
It's Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat with you on the other side. Dwayne Woods. Dwayne Woods is the interim executive director over at the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. There's been some big changes over there, and I want to just get real with him for about 10, 12 minutes on where are things at with this bowl game, because from a business side, a lot of questions going on around the valley behind the scenes. Some college football talk next as we continue on. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com, Brad Sussmat with you, of course, on AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the Arizona Republic's partnership on White Mountain Radio across the great state and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. We'll be doing the show tomorrow and Thursday and Friday from San Diego following U of A and March Madness. Jared will be in Milwaukee with Arizona State covering the Sun Devils in March Madness. Thanks to our partners, Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers, appreciate their support. Gateway Airport, which is plain easy. And Diamond Resorts International. Diamond Resorts International, now part of Sports 360 AZ. Stayed at the Polo Towers in Vegas. Great partnership with Diamond Resorts International as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. Dwayne Woods joins us now, the interim executive director of the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Always like catching up with Dwayne. He is in a spot where Robert Shelton left on January 13th. He has been there for a couple of months now. They're closing in on naming the new person. Are you the new person? Are you going to be the new person? Do you want to be the new person? Would you consider to be the new person, Dwayne?
Well, I'm not the new person, and I like to be a new person, however. But for this role, no. I think I just retired about a year ago, and just barely got settled back in retirement when I agreed to come on to this. But I think we're best served by somebody who could take a kind of a longer view at this position, and I didn't feel like to do that. And so, no, I'm just assisting the board now and trying to find the right person.
What do you see this job being?
Well, it's interesting. I think with the shift from the BCS now to the playoff format, the arrangements are pretty much predetermined now. I'm locked in for a significant period of time. As you know, it's much tighter finances for us because a lot of the sponsorship revenues are now taken back out by the college football playoff system. So we really are having to focus on how to lean up our operations, be very focused on putting on events as efficiently as we can, leveraging our volunteer base. And we're going to have to be really focused on our local partner sponsorships, because ESPN has a right obviously to sell the primary sponsorships, and they've got a number of categories. So, for example, we won't know until May, what they've locked up in terms of their sponsorships, and then that would let us know what we can then go sell. So we've really got to be more focused on revenue on the one side and new opportunities for revenue, and then the other on just leaning up our operations.
Dwayne Woods, interim executive director of the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes talking some college football on the business side of sports. The game itself, will we see a different look next January around the Fiesta Bowl? And even for that matter, Dwayne, around the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, the two bowl games that are here, will there be a different look next year because of this change?
Well, the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl is not affected by the college football playoff, but we do have a new arrangement with the Pac-12, the Big 12 next year. So where our partnership had been with the Big Ten and the Big 12, that's going to shift, and we have two new partners there, and there actually really are partners in our game there. So, but the sponsorship at this point still looks to be Buffalo Wild Wings, and I think that bowl will look a lot like it has. So that's really unaffected by the new playoff system. With respect to next year's game, you've got this difference between semifinal games and what we call a host bowl. We'll be a host bowl, but we'll maintain our brand and our title sponsorship. So that'll look pretty much the way it has looked relative to, from a spectator's point of view. But the semifinals will be definitely branded differently with the college football playoff logo and including our logo in a different way. So that game will look, I think, visibly a little different. And it certainly will be promoted based on CFP's, and ESPN's efforts to brand that game. There will be a difference with the semifinals. Then the national championship game is quite a bit different. That's now totally a bid process in which a consortium, including us, has won that for January of 2016 mm-hmm. here in the Valley. And that game is really is going to be branded mostly by CFP and their sponsors. And we'll have some clear visibility. The primary focus there will be how they brand that national championship game. And you won't see our Tostitos or Fiesta Bowl logo there.
Dwayne, where's Tostitos at in all this? Is that remaining intact? That's been the longest running sponsor, if I remember correctly, of bowl games. Where's Tostitos in all this?
Good question. They're in the process of negotiating with ESPN over their sponsorship agreement, their ad support, and how much they're going to spend on marketing. They'll still be a partner of ours, and what has to be defined first is what is their arrangement with ESPN, how is that going to be governed across their new system, and then, of course, as I mentioned, they're still a sponsor with us for the host bowls, and so once they're done with ESPN, we'll have a better and more clear understanding about how that affects their sponsorship with us, but we expect them to continue on to be a really valued partner.
Dwayne Woods is the interim executive director of the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, partnering up with AZ Central Sports in the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. You're not using an executive search firm for the replacement for Dr. Shelton, and that's fine. You know, you could go one way or the other on that from my view. But I'm sure that as you close this out, and I believe it's later this week that it closes out, are you aware of the length of the list, and are you yourself the person that is going through this list?
Okay, well, we do have a small group that's looking at the applications. They're in a kind of a secure folder, and we've gotten quite a number of applications, so we're happy at least with the initial number of applications. That will close out Friday. If we felt like we needed to open up, we certainly can and would. And we took quite a bit of effort to really make sure we've defined the job responsibilities we believe are really important for this position going forward, as well as the salary. So, that's, I think, been a good thing. I think it probably filtered, folks who might submit a much greater understanding of what we're expecting. We may end up using some kind of a qualified search just to do our initial reviews initial screens. We, at this point, we waited to see how large the number was before we made the decision to do that. We might be able to just do it on our own. But, right now, we certainly have a lot of interest in the position, and it's good to see some really qualified people from what I can see. So once we're through that process, we'll move on to make a determination who will come out for really detailed interviews. And that would be done primarily by a small committee of the executive committee of the board. And ultimately, the recommendation will be narrowed down to one or two, and the executive committee will make a recommendation to the full board.
That's going to be the process. Sorry about that, Dwayne. Is it something where what I am seeing from a distance is with the sponsorships and partnerships that have been in existence in the past, now that you have a group that is handling all of that above you, when you say leveraging, is it going to people here in the community and saying, your business does this, can you partner with us to do this, or can you donate your services to do this? Is that the model that you're taking now with the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's kind of three elements to that on the volunteer side. There's the volunteers who really help put on our event, and if you think about it, that allows us to put on events in a much cheaper way. So, our ability to monetize the value of that is really that it reduces our operating expenses and increases the potential for excess revenue that goes into our charitable arm. the second element is donated services, and that also can offset game expenses. So you as a business might agree to provide some transportation services, some reduced amount, could be anything from, you know, removing waste to, you know, transportation services to, or who knows, a number of different services. And those would, again, reduce our expense and allow us to then, you know, reap the benefit of that in terms of increased revenue. And the last one, really, I would say, is kind of the pure sponsorship role, where someone's purchasing, you know, sponsorships to leverage their brand and get more brand exposure. And that's a revenue source for the bowl and for the game. And so that might be, as well as ticket packages, would be, of course, branding exposure and different events that we have. So kind of those are the three areas. The value of the Fiesta Bowl has been that we have a really engaged primary volunteer group that does a lot of our work.
Sure.
And that's really been a big leverage point for us, I think, in being selected as one of the bowls.
Well, it sounds like, you know, the transition, because I was caught off guard, obviously. I think a lot of people were when Dr. Shelton stepped aside. But I think it sounds like you, of course, have leadership in a lot of areas, and it sounds a little bit like the Thunderbirds and what they've been doing. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. I mean, Thunderbirds do an outstanding job, I think, in terms of how they engage and lever, you know, their membership. And I think, you know, we are definitely looking at them certainly as a model. And I think it really, if you go back to the core and original format for the Fiesta Bowl, it was really a very, very highly leveraged volunteer group. And I think we're kind of returning to that again.
Appreciate your time and your insight, Dwayne. See you down the road. Thanks.
Yeah, take care and good luck, and thank you for the call.
Dwayne Woods with us for a couple of minutes, interim executive director. I look at the Fiesta Bowl as, you know, part of what we do is a lot of college football, but the business side and that transition, if that bowl were to fall apart for any reason at all, and I'm not sitting here saying I've heard anything that it's going to, I think it's heading in the right direction, but this is a crucial 3 months. You can't screw this up. Because when we have all this college football that we all love as college football fans, I think when it gets to holiday season and you've got two bowl games and then three in 2016, because you'll have the Buffalo Wild Wings, you'll have the Fiesta, and then you'll have the national title game, how can you not want to make sure that this stays intact? On the other side, we will. I'm going to talk a little bit about Phil Jackson and the Knicks and what's gone on there today. Today was a big day and how the Suns, I think, got it right. Last night on the court, the Suns were dreadful. I'll get into that. Some more college basketball on the brackets end of things, and a few other things in my mind as we roll on a busy Tuesday. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, from San Diego with the University of Arizona Wildcats, Jared will be in Milwaukee with the Arizona State Sun Devils, sports360az.com. Plenty of content for you. Stay with us.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at sports360az.
In about 10 minutes or thereabouts, we'll talk about ASU football because today is the first day of spring football workouts. And you'll hear from Todd Graham. They're out of the field, actually just about ready to wrap up. Todd Graham on quite a few tidbits. Also some more on March Madness. My bracket, I filled it out yesterday. Jared is in today for Eric. So did you do brackets already? Did you already get yours done?
Yeah, I got one done. I just kind of did my first gut instinct on all of it, and I think I'm just going to keep it as is.
How many are you doing the $1 billion thingy?
Yes, I haven't filled that one out yet, but I plan to do that.
I call it a thingy. So there's a
thingy. What's
the website? Do you remember the website for that? Because I've had people hit me up asking if I'm going to do the $1 billion one.
Stand by.
No, don't run off yet. I'll find it. But I kind of like Eastern Kentucky to beat Kansas. The whole thing on March Madness is you've got to find upsets that nobody else would think about if you're going to have a long run in your brackets. You can't just sit there and pick all the higher seeds. You can't do that. Now, the 116s, I don't see any 116 upsets this year. I don't. Do I think Weber State could push the U of A till about it's 4-2, and then that's about it? That's, you know, that's about the end of the push there. Do I see a 215? You know, Wisconsin, people love Wisconsin. I'm not in love with Wisconsin.
I've never been in love with Wisconsin
No.
this time of year. My biggest upset that I have is Providence beating North Carolina, which is an 11-6.
And, you know, and really, this is not a great North Carolina team. It's one of those deals where people just look at, like, I don't think it's a great Duke team. It's not a great Duke team. They have a great individual player who's been up and down. But I could see North Carolina losing to Providence.
And
I think
Providence
I picked that
beat Creighton in that Big East championship game. I watched that game after the U of A UCLA game, and they looked pretty good. So I'm just kind of rolling with that.
See, I think Iowa State. I kind of like Iowa State.
Me too.
I like Iowa State. I don't like Virginia. I think Michigan State knocks Virginia out in the Sweet 16. I think Michigan State makes it all the way to the Final Four.
Yep, I have them in the national championship game.
So my final four is Michigan State, Louisville, U of A, and UCLA. And it's pretty easy to pick ones and twos all the way across the board. And yeah, UCLA is a four, but I think it's one of those teams that is playing their best basketball at the right time of the year. That's not how it always works. So I'm VCU. I've got VCU beating Pitt. That's not much of an upset. I like Shaka Smart. San Diego State, I have SDSU playing U of A. As that moves along through the West region, I think that I could see that happening. You know, the Pac-12, by and large, Oregon gets all the way to the round of two and then loses to Creighton. So they get a win. They get two wins, actually. I've got them beating BYU. I've got them beating Wisconsin. They make it to the Sweet 16. Then they lose to Creighton.
I have them doing the exact same thing. I don't buy that Wisconsin team at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning on Harvard a little bit to push Michigan State. Just a little bit. St. Joe's Nova, that one is one of those that what I like. Did you see the St. Joe's picture of the kid?
Yes.
Who imitates
Phil
Martelli?
He's the grandson.
He's the grandson of Phil Martelli.
That is so funny.
It's funny. It's good stuff. All right. So there's more on the brackets that we'll get to. And again, we've got three more days. We'll be out tomorrow. I'll be out in California. Jared's heading out to Milwaukee tomorrow night. And we'll have both games covered, ASU and U of A. The ASU game. People are asking on this. ASU game is 6:40 on Thursday night, and I believe it's TNT because there's channels all over the place, and I saw TNT in the ASU game. I don't know where the U of A game is yet, if it's True TV. Have you seen that
one?
I
saw it's on TNT.
Is it on TNT also? Okay. And that's fine. That's fine. Over on the NBA side of things, so I've got a few minutes here to talk about what happened today. It's the biggest story in sports today, and you're going to hear a lot about it tonight. Phil Jackson did take the job running the New York Knicks today. When the Suns were in their complete state of disarray, I suggested on this very same show that the Suns should at least call Phil Jackson to coach. And people said, well, you're crazy. He would never come here. You don't know till you try. Did I think Jared Cohen would come work for me over at Sports 360 AZ? No, I made a run at him. He was in an elite position. He was in a spot where everything was going well. And I said, heck with that, I'm going to make a run. Eric Sorensen. I said, Eric Sorensen was in an elite position. So I had to say, I'm going to make a run at Eric Sorensen. And I did. And I got him. Jared the Borda.
Really paid off with the Eric Sorensen move. No, yeah. No question.
You know, screws over there, Jared. You know, Jared was in an elite position. I had to make a run at Jared. So as you put a team together, why not aim high? And I suggested this for the Suns. Should the Suns have pursued Phil Jackson to coach a year ago? I said, if you guys are going to sit here and have these misfits on the sidelines that have no idea what they're doing, and the front office is a complete joke and being laughed at around the NBA, you might as well aim high. They aimed high, but in a different direction. They aimed high at two young guys that are up-and-comers, and I think it was very much the right move to make. The Knicks are becoming like the Washington Redskins to me. It's like Daniel Snyder is running the New York Knicks. You can throw gobs of money. You can go tell everybody, I have so much money, it makes you sick. But if you have no clue as to what it is that you're doing in the business of sports, it's amazing to me how many guys with money that have been wildly successful get into sports and they just don't know how to even maneuver and move around. They don't aim high. They just think it's like any other business. So they're desperate in New York. This reeks of desperation today. The Knicks hiring Phil Jackson to be in charge of the entire basketball operations. My thought was Phil Jackson to coach the Suns, at least make a phone call. Didn't happen. It's fine. Things have worked out. Phil Jackson running the Knicks, to me, this shrieks of desperation. He's never been in this position before. If you remember correctly the history of Phil Jackson, yeah, he has 13 titles, 13 rings on his fingers, okay? But he butted heads with Jerry Krause with the Chicago Bulls. He's butted heads with management. Didn't get along with the Lakers towards the end, right? So here he is in New York with James Dolan. And the Knicks, I think, have won, I believe the number is one playoff game since 2002. Now he's got Carmelo Anthony. In my opinion, of Carmelo has always been, shoots entirely too much, doesn't know what the word pass means. For Carmelo Anthony, now he is in a spot where, I'll get to that in a minute. Here's Phil Jackson today, this morning, on if Carmelo is part of the Knicks' future because he's going to be a free agent.
I have no problems with committing to saying Carmelo is in the future plans. I think that, you know, there are a number of things I see Carmelo doing as he moves forward. And I said, I think I was on record a year ago, that I think Carmelo is a greater player as he is, still has another level he can go to. And I hope together with the team we create, he can get there.
See, I would agree with all that. Does he have another level to get to? Look, if he drops down from going 12 of 36 from the floor and figures out if he goes 12 of 26 from the floor, 10 less shots, and gets about 4 to 5 more assists, I'm fine with that. It's when he goes out on the floor and people say, oh man, Melo had 47 last night. I see his stat line that he's 11 of 39 and he shot all these free throws. And, well, that's really impressive. Well, no, it's not. If you know basketball, you know that it's a joke. It's all about him. And I'm just not into that. So he goes to the Knicks. They don't have a good roster at all. For those of you that were into the Amari Stoudemire, Amari goes to the Suns. Oh my gosh, what a tragic turn of events for the Suns. What a train wreck for the Suns that Amari Stoudemire didn't stay here, that Robert Sarver had it all wrong. No, Robert Sarver had it all right. Why don't you go back and look at the columns that were written when Robert Sarver in the TV newscast, when Robert Sarver let Amari Stoudemire go to New York, how much Robert was crushed and crucified in Phoenix for letting Amari go. And I wonder if those same people would look at it now and say, man, did I get that one wrong? Because it's been the best bit of news for the Suns. Short term, tough pill to swallow, no question. But could you imagine being committed to that big contract? And the Knicks don't have a first-round pick next year. The Suns are sitting here with three, possibly four. They're in cap jail in New York because they've got money tied up in Amari, among others. Tyson Chandler is their best player, and he's old. So Phil Jackson rolls in on this. I'm not certain that I'm going to see Phil Jackson get on a plane and show up in Tucson next year to go watch Caleb Tarzewski or whomever it may be next year playing for the University of Arizona Wildcats. No offense to ASU. I don't see a high first-round pick or a first-round pick on next year's roster as it stands right now. I don't think I'm going to see Phil Jackson get on a plane and go to Wichita and go watch Wichita State play next year to see, in fact, if their players are the number one team in the nation. Yeah, he may go get scouts. That's fine. That's what you do. But that story today, to me, it's a desperate move in sports. It's very good for the NBA. It's good for business because they'll put the Knicks on for people to watch them because of the television market, even though the team is a joke. It's like putting the Lakers on television now and watching them and saying, who are these guys? And how did this organization get to be so bad so quick? And why are they stuffing it down our throats? It's very good for business today for the NBA. On the other hand, closer to home. So the Suns get drilled by Brooklyn of all teams. Brooklyn, I know, is a playoff team. Brooklyn at the start of the year started out horrible. Jason Kidd's their coach. It has the typical NBA model written all over it. Bunch of veteran guys that don't play hard. That early in the season, they're basically stealing the fans' money because they don't want to play, they're not into it, and they're pacing themselves for the postseason. Last night I watched the game. Suns weren't very good at all. Here's Jeff Hornacek after the Suns' loss.
The energy level wasn't where it was against, you know, we had the Toronto game. You know, missing easy shots right off the bat. Timeouts, they came out of timeouts, didn't even run the play we had on the board, didn't know where to go. So I just didn't think their heads were in it.
And they weren't. It was the end of a road trip. They are a game and a half out of the playoffs today. They host the Orlando Magic here tomorrow night. Again, for all those that made the Suns are going to hit their easy part of the schedule, thus they're going to get on a roll and go into the playoffs. That bit of a rant, no. That's not how it works. They're dragging towards the end of the season Orlando at home tomorrow night. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio. Of course, on Twitter at Brad Sussmap. Plenty of content up on Sports360AZ. Jared yesterday had lunch with Mike Norvell, the offensive coordinator for Arizona State. Really good story on that front. ASU opening up spring football practice today. Plenty of content around U of A and ASU and March Madness. On the high school end of things, we have the recruiting roundup. So plenty of stuff that's Arizona-centric. I'm Brad Sussmap.